Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's MinoStudio777@gmail.com.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing information that you can use to generate real cash flow. We're a weekly podcast, and if you are not a subscriber, go to iTunes, look up Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, and subscribe. Well, today we've got a great guest, Garrett Sutton. Garrett Sutton is a nationally acclaimed corporate attorney and asset protection expert who has written a number of books guiding entrepreneurs and investors. Garrett's bestsellers include Start Your Own Corporation, Writing Winning Business Plans, The ABCs of Getting Out of Debt, Run Your Own Corporation, Buying and Selling a Business, and Loopholes of Real Estate in Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Advisor series. Garrett is also the author of How to Use Limited Liability Companies and Limited Partnerships and the co-author of Finance Your Own Business. And most recently, he has a new book coming out called Toxic Client for how to deal with those difficult clients that we deal with. Garrett enjoys helping entrepreneurs to succeed. He has over 30 years of experience in assisting individuals and businesses to determine their appropriate corporate structure, limit their liability, protect their assets, and achieve their goals. Garrett is a founder of Corporate Direct and Sutton Law Center, which since 1988 has provided affordable asset protection and corporate formation and maintenance services for investors around the world. His articles and quotes have been published in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, CBS.com, Time.com, and Credit.com. More information he'll share with us at the end of this podcast today. Garrett is married with three children and lives in Reno, Nevada, near the outdoor activities of Lake Tahoe and the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Wow, that's a lot of things you've accomplished there, Garrett.
Well, thank you, Bill, and it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. This is one of those areas that I think none of us that are in real estate investing can get enough of. It's an area I think that's so critical to our businesses and to our investments. So we're lucky to have you on here, and we appreciate that. Maybe you can give us a little bit of background as well in how you got involved in asset protection and also your real estate investing activities.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, went to the University of California, Berkeley, took business classes there. I always liked business. And then I went across the bay to Hastings College of the Law, which is the University of California's law school in San Francisco. And I practiced law in San Francisco and Washington, D.C., and it just, the Bay Area got kind of crowded. So I moved up to Reno in 1989, 2 weeks before the earthquake. You remember the earthquake during the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
Between the Giants and the A's. And my friend said, how did you know? But, you know, I'd always spent my summers up at Tahoe and loved it. And when I moved to Nevada, I discovered how great Nevada was for incorporations and asset protection. I'd always enjoyed business from my undergraduate days. And so it just was a natural fit to start practicing in corporate law and asset protection. And at the start of the show, Bill, you mentioned that this is such an important area. And the other thing to know is they don't teach it. It's not only not taught in undergraduate courses, but asset protection is not even taught in law school. So, you know, this is something that you have to pick up and on your own. And that's why I've written these books, Start Your Own Corporation and Loopholes of Real Estate, are really for real estate investors to provide the information that is not readily accessible out there. So it's been quite enjoyable doing this. I became associated with Robert Kiyosaki and the Rich Dad Advisor Group, in the year 2000, and have gone around the country and around the world talking to people about how to protect their assets as they grow their real estate wealth. And so as you buy that first property, you have to start thinking about how to protect it. And I really enjoy helping people with that.
Well, it's kind of sad in one way that we live in such a litigious society where, you know, people are just looking at every opportunity to take somebody in the courtroom. And I think as a business person, it's prudent that we understand exactly what asset protection is. And maybe you could just define it a little bit better for our listeners. What exactly are you talking about when you say asset protection?
Well, when I talk about asset protection, I mean utilizing strategies that every state government allows to protect yourself. When people started sailing around the world from Europe to pursue opportunities, they had to get a charter from the crown to become a corporation. And this encouraged risk takers to go out and take risks on sailing ventures. And it became so popular that they opened it up so that anybody could get a charter where you would have limited liability. Your personal assets would be protected. And that has done well for our economy. We want to encourage risk taking. At the same time, we don't want people to be, you know, to go to debtor's prison like they used to do. So this is asset protection for me is using the structures that the state and the federal government allow us to use to engage in business, to invest in real estate, but at the same time, to protect our personal assets.
Now, is it difficult to, because you talk about the states as well, to advise your clients if they have properties, you know, all over the United States?
Sure. We are able to form corporations and LLCs in all 50 states, and each state has a little different law. When the founders got together, they were thinking to make corporate law a federal law. That's what James Madison wanted. But it prevailed that it should be state by state. And because corporate and LLC law is state by state, you have variations among the states. And some states are strong in protecting assets, and others are weak. So we help people plan for where to set up the entities, which states are strong, which states are weak and need extra planning. And so that's what we do every day. And again, I really enjoy helping people make these decisions.
Well, this interview is a little bit difficult because I know you don't want to necessarily give legal advice because every situation is going to be different, but I'll be asking a lot of questions like that, so be prepared. For example, if you're a newbie investor and you're buying your first multifamily, let's say it's a fourplex, how would you advise that person? You know, what do they need to do? Is it before they purchase that property or after that property is purchased to set up an LLC, set up a corporation? What would you just say, and again, in general terms?
Bill, the general answer is you would set up an LLC for that real estate investment. We would decide whether it was going to be, you know, a Colorado LLC if the property is in Colorado, maybe owned by a Wyoming LLC, which offers good asset protection, or just in Colorado. But at the very least, you're going to set up an LLC, which will protect your personal assets from attack. If a tenant sues over something bad that happened at the property, they will be able to get the equity inside the LLC that holds the real estate, but they won't be able to get beyond the LLC to get at the equity in your house, your bank account, your gold and silver, your brokerage account. So that, for the first step, would be to have an LLC set up for that property. Now, you ask a really good question. Do you take title in the LLC, or do you have to wait until the transaction closes? I prefer to take title in the name of the LLC. Some banks, though, don't like you to do that, so we wait until the title closes, and then we transfer from your name to the name of the LLC. And as long as that property is in your individual name, you don't have any asset protection. So we want to transfer it into the LLC as soon as you can.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with a property in Indianapolis, and the local lender would not let me open it as an LLC, had to be in my own name, which, you know, was, again, puts me at risk. But I understand that there are certain lenders that will make those stipulations.
The lenders are getting better at this. 10 years ago, they said absolutely not. I just dealt with a lender recently that said, we just want your name on the title. If you transfer it into the LLC the next day, we're fine with that. The bank's position hasn't changed, you know, by having title in the LLC. They still have your personal guarantee. They still have a first deed of trust against the property. So the bank is protected whether it's in your name or in the LLC name.
Right. And I think the thing that, you know, put a little fear into me, though, as they said, you know, you can always transfer it. It's your, you know, you can do that. But there's this thing called the due on sale clause. Basically says that if they want and you change the title and they haven't okayed it, they can call on the loan. Is that correct?
Well, the due on sale clause relates to a sale, and in this case, you haven't sold the property. You've just transferred it from your name to the name of an LLC you own. So my argument is that you haven't sold the property. It's just a transfer, and most banks understand that. As long as the bank keeps getting paid every month, they're not going to call the note. The other thing is that the magic words to use if you do have a problem with the bank, the magic words are continuity of obligation. The bank still has your obligation. There's still a continuity between you as the that took out the loan and the bank. You still are obligated to the bank. So if you have a problem, I just haven't seen it where the banks call the note when you transfer it into an LLC. But if you have a problem, those are the words to use, continuity of obligation.
That's great. Now, this again, using the same example here, now they seemed to be a little bit more open to a land trust over the LLC. Would you know why that would be more preferred by them?
Well, I don't, because the land trust offers zero asset protection.
Right.
If you get sued in a land trust, people can reach all of your personal assets. And there are all these promoters running around the country promoting the land trust and saying that it provides asset protection, and it doesn't. There's no asset protection with the land trust. So I don't know why a bank would recommend that if they, you know, care about asset protection. I think it's to the bank's benefit to have your property in an LLC. So the bank, it doesn't matter for the bank. They still have first dibs on the equity in the property. That doesn't change whether it's in your name or an LLC.
Right. And it's funny, too, because I've also had the financial institutions that insisted that it be that the deed be in the name of an LLC as opposed to an individual.
Yeah.
Which is so they're kind of all over the board on that. Looking at it, again, I'm coming in this from the simplest standpoint because that's kind of where I work from. But asset protection, as I understand it, you described it, I thought, very well, just talking about how they can only go to the LLC if people are going to sue you or go after your whatever your net worth is or your finances, that they can only go to the LLC. But if you have multiple properties all over the place, if let's say that you have two properties in the same state, would you put them both into that LLC or would you set up a separate LLC? How would you protect yourself so that if someone from one property tried to sue you and they wanted to take all the assets from the other property in the LLC?
Right. Well, that's a judgment call, Bill. Do you put two properties in one LLC or two properties in two separate LLCs, each property in a separate LLC? If you put two properties in one LLC and a tenant sues over something that happened at the first property, they can get the equity not only in the first property, but in the second property as well because it's in the same LLC. So a lot of people would consider having two separate LLCs, one for each property. But again, it's a judgment call. A state like California where the annual fees are $800 per year. Say you had two condos that had equity of $20,000 each in them. You might put the two condos into one California LLC just because of that $800 annual fee. Other states are nowhere near that expensive. Wyoming, which offers great asset protection, privacy, they don't list your name on the internet, is only $50 a year. So it just depends state to state. But you raise a very good question, Bill. How many properties do you put in one LLC? And that's really a judgment call. When people call me up on the phone, we go through that, and it's really their decision. What level of risk do you want?
Right. One of the things I'd heard with land trust, too, is that sometimes if you do have a situation like that, you'd put the deed of each property in two different land trusts, which are not expensive necessarily, and then that they would both go into that LLC. And the land trust, I guess the appeal is that it has an amenity that they would not be able to necessarily be able to trace you or trace the other land trust.
But I don't know. Agree with that.
Yeah.
In Loopholes of Real Estate, I have a whole chapter on land trusts and the fallacies that are out there. Say we have the two properties in two separate land trusts owned by one LLC. If you get sued over the first property, the obligation then flows to the LLC. Well, the LLC owns two land trusts, so both properties are exposed there. You don't really have asset protection. This whole idea of privacy with the land trust, if a tenant sues, they are able to find out who owns the land trust. That's part of the discovery process. So I don't think that you have all the privacy that the promoters say you do, and you certainly don't have the asset protection. When you have a number of land trusts owned by one LLC, you're exposing all those land trusts to a claim. So as you could tell, I'm not a big fan of land trust.
Yeah, no. Well, this is good. This is great, great information. This is why we have you on. Speaking of privacy then generally your LLC would be like, let's say I own this property in Texas and I'm going to open up an LLC there. And would I want to put that LLC in my personal name? Would I want to make it the Bill Manicero LLC? Or would I want it to be a little less obvious.
Right, right. My preference is to not use family names as the name of an LLC. I like having, you know, the street address, 123 Elm Street LLC, or, you know, your favorite river or mountain, something generic. And then, you know, your name may appear as the manager of that LLC. So someone looking on the state charter, the state website, could find that you manage that LLC. However, for example, with Wyoming, they don't list the member or manager's name. So they'll see 123 Elm Street, Wyoming LLC, but they won't see Bill's name on it. So that's why a lot of our clients like to use Wyoming LLCs.
Now, if I purchase the property in Texas, though, I still have to get that Texas LLC, right?
But correct.
You're just saying that the Wyoming LLC would own, and I might be using the wrong terms here, but be the beneficiary, I guess, for the Texas LLC.
Yeah, so what you would do, you would set up a Texas LLC to own the duplex in Austin, Texas. And then the Texas LLC could be owned by a Wyoming LLC that is not doing business in Texas. It just owns the Texas LLC for the better asset protection. And that's a common strategy that we use for people. You have the LLC set up in the state where the property is located because you're doing business in that state. You're collecting rents in Texas at the Austin duplex, so you're part of the Texas business system. You pay taxes in Texas, which aren't great. And then you have that in-state LLC. Say you have one in Texas and one in Oklahoma. Both can be owned by one Wyoming LLC. So Wyoming owns the Texas LLC, it owns the Oklahoma LLC, and if someone sues you in a car wreck, a claim that has nothing to do with the real estate, someone sues you in a car wreck and your insurance doesn't cover you, they have to fight through the Wyoming LLC to get to the Texas and Oklahoma LLCs, and Wyoming law is very strong. They provide for the charging order, which is a lien on distributions, but they don't force the sale of the properties in Texas or Oklahoma. So that's where the asset protection comes in with a strong state like Wyoming.
Okay. So if I'm, let's say I'm an out-of-state investor, I'm based in California. Okay, so just to add another layer to this, I'm based in California. I purchased properties in Texas and Oklahoma. I have these two LLCs. They go to this Wyoming LLC, but I file my taxes in California. Does that mean I... okay.
When you mention the word California, Bill, we have to start all over again. They are so aggressive. What you would have to do, if you didn't have the Wyoming LLC, the Texas LLC and the Oklahoma LLC would have to be qualified to do business in California. California says if Bill lives in California, manages a Texas LLC from California, the Texas LLC is doing business in California, pay us the $800 a year. It's really infuriating for people. You'd have to pay the $800 twice. By having the Wyoming LLC, and I know this is complicated, but we talk about it in the book. If you have the Wyoming LLC qualified to do business in California, because, Bill, you live in California, then we only have to pay the $800 fee once for the Wyoming.
For the Wyoming.
Not twice for Texas and Oklahoma. Now, this is only good until California changes their law again, which they do all the time in an ever constant search for new revenue.
It's like they don't.
The state of California is just kind of out of control when it comes to looking for new sources of revenue. Here's the other thing, Bill. If you don't pay the $800 to California and they find out about it, the penalty is $12,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So when you talk about California investing, we just have to be extra careful. We have to plan a lot more for California than any other state, than even the IRS. So,
Right. Now, this is great advice.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, I feel for those that are listening that aren't in California. They're so much better off. But
Bill, I have clients moving from California just because of these darn $800 fees.
Oh, I don't blame them. I mean, that's crazy, because if you get multiple properties out in other states, and many California investors are investing out of state, that could get absurd.
Well, it does, and you just kind of see where things are headed, and so people are leaving the state.
Yeah. LLCs seem like the best vehicle for the most part for an investor that owns properties as that core to asset protection. Other types of corporations that you address, for example, in your book, like C-Corps, when do these kick in for a real estate investor?
Well, we like the LLC to hold real estate because we have the charging order protection that I mentioned, and you're able to move property in and out at its basis. All right, so you can transfer a property from the LLC back to yourself if the bank requires it, and it's not a taxable event. When you move property in and out of a corporation, you have a tax. So it's not good from a tax standpoint. As well, the corporations in 49 states do not offer the charging order protection. So you don't have the good asset protection with a corporation. Nevada is the only state that extends charging order protection to corporations. The way you would use, for example, an S corporation is if you were flipping homes and it became a trader business. With the S corporation, we can minimize payroll taxes. And so there is a little wrinkle there where you would use perhaps an LLC taxed as an S-Corp for real estate where you're flipping it. But otherwise, you're going to stay away from corporations for real estate holdings. You're just much better off with the LLC. In some cases, the limited partnership or LP. But, you know, the vast majority of our clients are using LLCs for their real estate holdings.
In your book, again, when I keep referring to your book, I'm talking about Start Your Own Corporation, of course, and you talk about good and bad entities. And what exactly, do you want to define that first? What would be a good entity? What would be a bad entity?
Well, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so the bad ones are sole proprietorships where there's no asset protection. General partnerships where you shake hands with someone and all of a sudden you're general partners, and not only are you responsible for your own mistakes, but you're personally responsible for your partner's mistakes. So it's liability times two. So sole proprietorships, general partnerships for real estate, holding title in your individual name, these are bad ways to do business. The ugly way to use an entity is to have real estate held by a C corporation. The C corp has a double tax, a tax at the corporate level and a tax at the shareholder level. And say you sell a piece of real estate and the gain is $400,000, because the double tax of a C corp, you'll pay $90,000 more in taxes with a C corp than you would with an LLC. So Uncle Sam wants you to use a C-Corp for real estate, but if you're bringing partners in for investing, they're going to know you don't know what you're talking about if you suggest holding real estate in a C-Corp. So that's the ugly entity. The good entities are the LLC, Limited Liability Company, and LP, the Limited Partnership. Those are the good entities for holding real estate.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Very good explanation. I think one of the best ways to drive home the importance of asset protection is looking at people that didn't do it right. Hopefully you won't cross any kind of a client confidentiality here, but maybe you could share some stories that you actually know, or a story, I think, probably that would best illustrate some of the problems that can happen when you aren't properly covered.
Yeah, we all have horror stories, and there was one that really sticks out. This lady in San Francisco had given a speech, and she came up afterwards and said, you know, I'm buying a duplex here in California, and I'd like to set up an LLC. And I said, I think that's a good idea. I want you to know that the state of California charges $800 per year for that LLC. And she goes, oh, no, I can't afford that. I can't afford $800 a year. I'll just take title in my individual name. And I say, that's fine. It's your choice. And the next time I was giving a speech in San Francisco, she came up to me again and said, you know, I've been sued. I'd like to put my duplex into an LLC now. Well, at that point, it's too late. You know, you can't, put the seatbelt on after the car wreck. You've got to set these entities up now. If you get sued when the property is held in your individual name, it's too late at that point to set up an LLC. So that was one horror story that stood out. A success story, and like you say, Bill, I can't mention, client names out of confidentiality purposes, but this fellow was fairly well known, and we looked at his structure, and he had, you know, California properties and LLCs. He had properties across the country in various LLCs, but the California LLC is the weakest in the country. It provides the least asset protection. So with California, not only with all the taxation, we also have to do some planning because their asset protection laws are very weak. So I suggested that the California properties be held by the California LLCs, rather, be owned by a Wyoming LLC, which we have to qualify in California. But Wyoming law would apply in terms of asset protection in this case. And it turned out that he was able to prevent someone from forcing him to sell his California properties just by making this one step of having a Wyoming LLC own the California LLC. So that was a pretty good success story. He was pretty happy about it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think that's got to be one of the biggest challenges for those of us in California. It's just, how do you really succeed when you've got all of these factors working against you? Not just the $800 charge, but so many other tax ordinances and regulations that just make it tough to do business there.
Well, I had a friend of mine just got elected to the California Assembly. I've known him for years, and I was complaining about this, and his attitude was, look, if you're going to do business in California, you just got to pay to play.
Yeah.
His attitude is you're going to make money in California. There's a lot to like about California. And if you want to be part of the system, you got to pay to play. So that's kind of the attitude. It works for some people. Others, as we mentioned, are saying, I'm going to leave the state. But if you want that protection, I always recommend that people have insurance. That's the first line of defense. But insurance companies have an economic incentive to not cover every claim. And so the LLC is the second line of defense. And in California, it's $800 a year.
Gotcha. Looking at our listeners, some of them are starting out. Some of them have been investing for a little while. But let's say for those that are starting out, what would be your advice? Should they, for example, open up that Wyoming LLC if they're thinking of buying not maybe one, but maybe multiple properties, or maybe they are just buying one? Would you recommend setting up that Wyoming or maybe Nevada LLC first, or do they have to open an LLC in their state? What comes first here?
Yeah, everybody's situation is a little different, Bill, but if you're going to buy that first property, and you know that you're going to be investing in more, I would set up, say you're buying a property in Utah, I would set up a Utah LLC. You're going to need that for sure. And then the second step would be to set up that Wyoming LLC. Some of our clients know that they're going to invest somewhere and set up the Wyoming LLC first just so they have it. But everybody's situation is a little different. I guess the one thing I would say is, if you're going to invest in real estate, you really need at least one LLC to protect your personal assets from the attack of a tenant or other creditor.
And let's say an investor wants to protect their own assets and they have a living trust for their family, but they invest in properties through the Wyoming LLC. So the Wyoming LLC would go, let's say, for example, into that living trust.
Right. So they work together. The LLC offers the asset protection. The living trust offers the probate avoidance. So the LLC is owned by the living trust. We're protecting assets with the LLC. We're avoiding probate and all those large fees with the living trust. So they work together.
Gotcha. Just looking at your current business, sounds like you do a lot of things. You're an author, a speaker. You're obviously working day-to-day with investors. What's sort of the future outlook for you and your business?
Well, it's interesting, Bill. The business formations, people starting businesses, is down, which is troubling for me. I mean, the economy needs entrepreneurs to start businesses and employ people. And, over the last 5 years, business formations are down.
That surprises me.
For people starting new businesses, it's out there. You read the press on it, and people are concerned. Because young kids, they come out of college, they don't have a lot of money, they've got student debt, and they're not starting businesses. The good thing is people are investing in real estate. Shows like yours, Bill, that help people understand that you can invest in real estate. This is how you can provide for your retirement. This education is good, and people are taking advantage of it, and they're forming entities for their real estate holdings. So our business has benefited from people like you educating Americans about investing in real estate, and so that's the future of our business, is helping people protect their assets. And we offer a high level of customer service. You can call here and talk to someone on the phone. If you need a free 15-minute consult with an incorporating specialist, you can just call the office and talk to people about what is your best choice for setting things up, and hopefully you'll use our company, and we'll be working with you for years to come in protecting your assets.
Yeah, I think it's tough economic times, and I know that there's still plenty of people around this country that are struggling, and I'm surprised there aren't more businesses out there. But, you know, we read the stories, we've seen the examples of those who just sue at every chance they can, and take somebody to court for the most absurd things, but they and some to the extreme live off of their what they acquire in these lawsuits, and so it doesn't take much, and especially when you're out there and you've got tenants and so forth, someone trips or something happens like that, you know those things happen, and you want to be able to first make sure you have the insurance that'll cover it. But if somebody really wants to make a large lawsuit out of it, that you have the entities in place to be able to at least protect other assets that you may have. Boy, this has been really great.
Wrap-up session.
This is a little section where we just ask you a series of quick questions. Favorite real estate book?
Well, I'm biased, but I wrote Loopholes of Real Estate, and that is my favorite, even though I wrote it.
That's great. And that's the one I haven't read, so I'm going to have to read that now. That's great.
There's a lot of good information in there.
Good. How about a general business book?
Well, the book that I know has affected so many people positively is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. As I mentioned, I've traveled around the world and seen people take that message and improve their financial well-being. So I have high accolades for Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, I always put that as my first on real estate book. It kind of falls in that category for me. But you're right,
yep.
It's more general business. You could apply it generally across the board. What about the most valuable website that you access for business that you'd like to share with people?
Well, my favorite one, and the one I find that I use a lot, is dictionary.com. I write books, and they have a thesaurus feature. They always have great words of the day, and as a wordsmith, I really enjoy dictionary.com.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Favorite? How about app? Something on your phone here, or maybe it could be an app on a computer.
Well, I guess this is almost another website, but it's also listed as an app. I go to Real Clear Politics, and
you get
voices from both sides. And it's just a pretty well-balanced. You get liberal, conservative, moderate articles. And I find myself reading that at least once a day.
Oh, that's great. And looking at, again, you know, those that are starting out, maybe you could just give them maybe a brief, what are some of the key things, top three things that you think somebody that's going into real estate investing should do?
Well, a couple things. One would be to get educated. You know, there are plenty of great books out there that you can read. Some of the seminars I'd be wary of because you just have promoters there trying to sell you things you don't need. But once you get educated, then it would help to get a mentor, someone who would help you in your real estate investing, someone in town that maybe is willing to help. But then at some point, you've got to invest, right? Too many people suffer from the paralysis of analysis. You know, they never get to it. And just know that you're going to make a couple mistakes, and that's okay. And just get out there and invest in that first piece of property. Know that you're going to learn a lot, and that you're going to get better at it. So it's not something we're born with. It's something that you can practice and become successful at on your own. And I just think, you know, you look ahead to the nature of Social Security, it's bankrupt. And, you know, we're going to have to provide for ourselves. So for people out there who are looking at investing in real estate as a source of retirement monies, I think it's a great idea. And I just wish everybody the best luck with it.
Great. Well, how can people get a hold of you, Garrett? I'm sure there's a lot are ready to say, okay, I want to talk to this guy. Or I want to find out more about this or that. How's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, Bill, our main website is corporatedirect.com, and so you can go to that website, you can sign up, we have newsletters, we have articles, you can also arrange for a 15-minute consultation with one of the incorporating specialists, and if you do want to talk to me, I get on the phone for half an hour, it's, what, $175, and we go through everything, but, you know, the incorporating specialists can answer all the general questions about setting up the entity. How long does it take? Well, what are the costs? You know, that those sort of questions they can easily answer. And we really enjoy working with people all over the country to help them protect their assets. The phone number is 800-600-1760.
Great. Well, this has been fantastic having you on here. I could have gone twice as long easily. I have so many questions, but your book, I just highly recommend. Looking over here, my own copy here. I haven't finished yet, but it's Start Your Own Corporation, and I would recommend anybody that's in real estate investing that this should be one of the first books you get that really will help you set the foundation so that you can grow your investments or your business in a wise manner. So, as you know, this is called the Old Dogs REI Network, and we don't let our guests go without giving us a good old hound dog howl. So I know, Garrett, this I put you a little bit on the spot here, but you know, this is kind of just the way we close things out. So,
well, I kind of like it. I'm not good at the howl, but if I could try the bark, is that all right?
Hey, that's okay. That's all right.
All right, let me get going here. Just a sec. So that gets the dogs in the neighborhood going at least.
That sounded like a real dog. Wow. No, it sounded like you had a recording going there.
That's me.
Well, that's good. You know, see, I knew you'd find a loophole not to have to howl.
Oh,
you know,
that's it.
I got to read that book. Well, thank you so much, Garrett. And boy, anybody listening to this would do well to definitely contact your company and at least pick up your book and or one of your books and start getting educated here. So
great. Well, thanks for having me on the show, Bill. I've really enjoyed it.
So likewise. Well, you take care. And everybody else, have a great day. And we'll see you guys down the road.